fishing all the time. Keep it going fishing too. Well, I don't know if I'm betting you are, but there are some options, and we're going to talk about it. Leif Seeberg is here, and we're going to do a little fishing report. How you doing? How you doing, Leif?
I'm not too shabby. How you doing, Depp?
Well, you know, these are not my favorite days with all this smoke and different fire business going on up in the higher country. But, you know, I feel good about being down low. And I have been enjoying Mama River a lot. Every night, it's like you got to jump in some water somewhere. And being sort of washed downstream with the flow, I don't know, just sort of centers me, grounds me again at the end of each day.
Yeah, I feel like I'm pretty amphibious at this point. You know,
you're growing little webs between your digits.
And I try to carry it on through the winter as much as I can handle it, but I don't get as much skin exposure to the water as I do now.
Yeah,
it just always feels really good to be in there. Feels great to be on there in the boat. I've been savoring this. You know, this last couple of weeks of what I consider good boating season will be coming up on us here now.
And so, when we talk about what feels good to us, maybe not necessarily good to the fish. We're getting pretty warm here.
Yeah.
I was listening to our last week's fishing report, and there was, I think, 1,000 cubic feet down at Brewster or something?
At Pateras.
At Pateras, okay. Yep. And I'm sure that has changed.
Yeah, about 600 today.
Okay, so then water temperature too. I mean,
oh man,
what's that? What's going on there?
Well, you know, it's weird. It's like we were saying for so long. Oh, it's up there, and it's still up there as far as the flow goes. And the temperature was fine because of that, and we were sticking just a little above the 60-year average, kind of mirroring its drop. And then all of a sudden, we dunked under it about a week and a half ago now. So we're under that 60-year average, although still, you know, somewhat high for, I would say, the last 20 or 30-year average.
Okay.
Or right on, spot on, you know, not low. But definitely those temps. They're coming up. Yeah. And I got a call from Ryan Fortier yesterday saying that they're starting to evaluate the river for that hoot owl regulation that we have ran into. I thought we were going to be able to coast through without it, and it may get to the point where they only get as far as considering it before the conditions change.
Yeah.
But, you know, it would be for the best if that happened at this point. And I would just go ahead and encourage all the, you know, folks out there that do care about, you know, fish health more than getting out there and having fun themselves to just maybe cut it off after 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock, whatever. I mean, you're going to notice a big change in the fishing anyway.
Well, I'm guessing your results are sort of reflecting that, just the wisdom of that as well, right?
You just get a total decline in returns as you're going on throughout the day. I've been trying to get on the water 5:30, 6 o'clock. You know, I mean, it's brutally early. You got to set your alarm and everything.
When do you cut off then? Lunchtime? Or?
I'd like to kind of be wrapping up by 11:30, 12 o'clock. You know, when we're on the water at 5:30 or 6, it doesn't take until about 8 o'clock, and it gets a lot harder to start getting fish up. And then about 10 o'clock, it seems like about all the fish that really want to come up are going to be just those little steelhead smolt that'll kind of eat anything anytime. And it gets a little harder to get those cutties up. They just don't like the warmer water at all, and they don't like the bright light.
Well, how warm are we talking about? What kind of temperatures are you seeing there?
As far down as Burma, you know, Methow area, where the water's warmest down towards the bottom, we're seeing, I got that smoke in my lungs here.
Yeah, we all do,
we're seeing about 70 degrees, is what Ryan was saying down there. I haven't been down there that far in quite some time, but it's, you know, looking about 70, you know, maybe even a little 72, 73 by 12 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon down there. So that's definitely not fishing
temps. You know, being a fish scientist, let me ask you this. When you mentioned, you know, the health of the fish and sort of, you know, playing with them, when it's warmer later in the day, what physiologically is going on if you say you hook one and you do, you know, mess with them? What goes on with the fish itself?
Well, I would just say, you know, just think about, you know, they're 70 degrees, they're 72 degrees, what have you. Yeah. It's like our 105, 110 degrees. So if you had somebody basically tie a rope around you and try to pull you into somewhere where you really didn't want to go,
you
fought with all your strength to get away from that, then it would leave you feeling about the same as they do, just completely exhausted.
Yeah.
Could even, you know, suffer some sort of short-term, like, heat stroke or kind of fainting sort of thing will happen with them sometimes, where you'll see them be so exhausted they won't be able to right themselves.
Right.
And then if they aren't able to right themselves and they get even, you know, just the smallest amount of air in their float bladder, you know, which will kind of upset their normal equilibrium, and they just basically drown because they have their that big bubble of air pulling their stomach up towards the top, where they can't breathe, and the water is terrible, low O2 anyway, super warm on the surface, and they just basically suffocate there on the surface because they don't have the energy to recombobulate themselves, get back down there where they should be.
And, well, I've seen, I mean, I've seen that, but, you know, I just wasn't quite sure what all was going on inside of them. They got a different body structure.
You know, and I was just talking to a friend today, you know, they're completely different in a lot of ways physiologically, but in a lot of ways, you know, you're going to get the same results from stresses or from any changes to their environment. You know, I've just, when they lose their ability to osmoregulate, they'll start getting like a buildup of water in their body, and they get all bloated. Their eyes will get pop-eyed. It's just another result of something that can happen that's stressing their body. They stop releasing as many red blood cells, and so they'll get anemic just like a human.
I'll be darned.
You know, they'll have almost clear blood, which is, it's just almost plasma at that point, no red blood cells. You know, it's just, it's pretty bizarre how we're totally different creatures, but our bodies and our systems, you know, kind of act the same way when they're put under total duress and stress.
Well, you know, I guess it's kind of a good rule of thumb that when you realize, you know, the fluctuation in water temperature up to, say, 70 degrees would be like up to what our temperature could fluctuate up to 105, say.
Yeah.
Like, that's a dang hot day.
Their bodies, you know, I would say are kind of wanting temperatures that are about 20, 30 degrees cooler than what the humans are comfortable with, you know, most of the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like it's almost impossible to get some of these fish that are a little pickier, a little smarter maybe, to even feed during that. Because if you think about how you feel when it's 105, if somebody slaps a giant feast down in front of you, you're going to be like, dude,
I'm
gross.
I'm not that hungry.
No, thank you. Like maybe a small piece of sushi and something to drink. No, thank you. So they're not really even in the mood to bite, which you'll kind of see. But yeah, fish gods forbid if you do kind of hook into one and put the fight on them, it's just not good for
them. All the more reason, don't even try. Don't even be out there. Don't even put yourself in that situation where you might hook something.
Like we did talk about last week, go take a little siesta.
Yeah.
You know, I have gotten out to see if things were better at like 9 or 10 o'clock up here, where I'm not so worried about the water temperature, just thinking it's more of a light and desire kind of thing, and hoping maybe there was a good evening hatch. And as far as the twisp goes, it was pretty weak. It was, the flow is just so low down there. There's just not much left to it there. I'm sure it might happen a little bit in some of these holes here on the Medhow and even the Chiwook. But there again, if you feel like the water temperatures are getting warm, then it's not the time. But for now, I would say you're okay to be fishing that second half of the day, you know, maybe after giving it the midday break. You know, once you're close to the Twisp River and above, it cools. Well, and just below it here, it's pretty cool.
Okay.
But you wouldn't really want to be going any further down than Carlton at this point, because everything, and even kind of down there by Carlton, things are getting warm. So, you know, keep it up in that maybe Winthrop to Twisp stretch right now in the evening. And that's pretty much what's going on.
Well, what have you been noticing about bugs? Because it seems to me like it's a real buggy year and a lot of insects.
You know,
is that lure them out any more than usual?
Yeah,
same,
you know,
thing.
I'm not sure. I almost feel like maybe it kind of hits them like honeybees when you smoke honeybees, and they kind of get all mellow and you can handle them. You know, maybe it does something like that where it's harder for them to fly around, or, you know, maybe it messes with their little systems or whatever.
It's funny what I've been noticing. You know, I mean, this morning I came out. I mean, it was pretty early. A huge amount of bats. So clearly the mosquitoes were
still out, or something's out.
So, and it looked like it was kind of feast time for bats, because they were definitely...
And the light's kind of low. That's going to be nice. Got to stretch it out a little for
them. Yeah, they were way on it. And I've just seen a lot more bugs in the house, outside. Yeah. You know, there's just a lot of bugs.
I've been noticing a lot of swallows on the river, swallowing, getting a lot of bugs. And they're not even right off the surface. They're flying, you know, up to 20 feet above. So it's kind of, there's definitely a thick cloud of bugs out there. The golden stones are heading towards their peak here at the end of this month, seeing a lot of, mostly you'll see the evidence of the night's hatch in the shucks on the rocks, and whatever's right at the waterline is what hatched last night. Most likely they'll hike a little further up sometimes, but you'll notice the ones further up are crusty and dry, where the ones down by the edge of the water are still kind of a little bit moist and soft. They were from the ones that came off last night. So we still got those. You can still get away with using some, you know, bigger patterns to mimic those adults and the nymphs. Also to mimic the nymphs before they get up on the shore there. In the case that you're not seeing bugs up, you know, if you're using small streamers, it's another good way to go. And nymphing as well. You know, with this heat, sometimes the midday dry fly can wear off. But at the same time, like we were talking about last week, grasshoppers can make an exception to that rule.
Yes.
So also, you know, what I like to do is just start through with a nice dry fly and then follow up, do a little mop up with either the streamer or the nymph combination too. Hit it both ways, you know, but always hit it with the dry fly first. Nothing hurts worse than to have a fish come up and smack your indicator, your bobber, you know. So high mountain lakes, God, I just had to bag my trip up to one of them because of this smoke. I just can't move through it. Hopefully it'll break up, because right now would be the perfect time to be up there. So maybe after this smoke moves off, if you're not going to be hitting the river, definitely get up into the high country.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much what's going on right now.
All right.
Maybe a little request out there. Mainly it seems to be the booze cruising folks. Doesn't seem to be fishermen most of the time. But just, you know, if you could just kind of get the word out there that this river doesn't clean itself. I'm packing a lot of stuff out of the river, and I know a lot of us do. Almost got bit by a rattlesnake the other day picking some of it up. Of course, it was like an elect so-and-so sign from, I think, the Carlton Complex time there. But it had been bothering me long enough. I went and grabbed that sucker.
No, I've got the same concern that maybe visitors to the area don't understand that this river is one of only two free-flowing stems into the Columbia.
Yeah,
I mean, us
absolutely.
And the Entiat, the only ones. And it's special because of that. I don't want to say that you shouldn't be allowed to float it, but if you do float it, respect it.
Yeah,
you
shouldn't be allowed to use a resource that you can't respect and keep it going into perpetuity.
Yeah,
that's
man.
For sure. But anyway, enough of that. If anybody needs any fishing tips or wants to book a trip, just give me a call at 509-429-7298. You can drop me a line on the old interwebs at methowfishingadventures@gmail.com, or check out the blog or podcast at Fly Fishers Pro Shop. Maybe wear a filter for a little while. Keep that smoke out of your lungs. Take care of one another and get that fish right on.
If you got good bait, I'm going fishing. My mama going fishing. Baby going fishing too.